Africa, the second largest continent on earth, is considered blessed by the hand of God, the motherland as it is often called, due to the belief that it was the birthplace of humanity, is teeming with wildlife. A strong life energy exists in its emerald green jungles, which are the sanctuaries of exotic flora and fauna. Its majestic mountains hold earth's hidden treasures of gold, platinum and diamonds. The Nile winds and twists its way for over 4,000 miles northward from eastern Africa to Egypt, providing life source for countless creatures of God living under the limitless African sky. Many great and gifted beings have emerged from the African ancestry, including Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., actor Bill Cosby, and supermodel Iman, who exemplify the grace and talents of the African people. God continues to bless Africa through a living master, whose mission of sharing the love from the Most High with humankind brought her to this land. In 1995, Supreme Master Ching Hai came to Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast, in West Africa. The First Lady of the Ivory Coast, Mrs. Henriette Bedier, invited Supreme Master Ching Hai to the Presidential Palace as an honored guest. Upon learning of the condition of the local hospitals, Supreme Master Ching Hai immediately made a contribution to purchase necessities, equipment and medicine. She then was accompanied by the Prince of the Ivory Coast to the orphanages in the city of Abidjan. Supreme Master Ching Hai then continued on her journey to the Kingdom of Benin, once one of the most advanced of African civilizations. The royal family had arranged for a grand reception at the airport to greet their national guest. King Aguli Agbo and his queen welcomed Supreme Master Ching Hai to their palace and expressed their honor at receiving her in their country. During her stay in Benin, Supreme Master Ching Hai also visited hospitals, poor villages and several orphanages run by convent nuns. Supreme Master Ching Hai showered the children with her love and gifts. She also made a contribution to the orphanage of Saint Enfant Jesus in order for them to add more facilities. Before her departure from this country, the First Lady of Benin, Mrs. Nisafor Soglo, invited Supreme Master Ching Hai to her official residence, where a friendly meeting took place between them. In November and December 1999, Supreme Master Ching Hai traveled to the great continent of Africa again during her Middle East and Africa tour titled Heaven is Only the Beginning. She was invited to lecture in three of South Africa's largest cities, Johannesburg, Durban and Cape Town. Truth seekers in these cities yearned for the nectar of God to satisfy their inner longing. As Africa has gained the world's attention as a land of many cultures and beliefs, Cape Town, South Africa, was chosen as the ideal location to host the Parliament of the World's Religions on December the 1st through to the 8th, 1999. Supreme Master Ching Hai was among the world's spiritual and religious leaders who were invited to speak at the Parliament's opening ceremony and made a special prayer as well. Afterwards, a group of Zulu children dancers had the honor of meeting Supreme Master Ching Hai. Touched by their pure hearts and sincerity, Supreme Master Ching Hai made a generous contribution for them. During the course of a visit, Supreme Master Ching Hai not only shared the noble teachings of the truth with the people of South Africa, but also made philanthropic contributions to the poor and less fortunate, amounting to about $100,000. Many members of the media also requested to interview Supreme Master Ching Hai. Although her time was limited, she granted several interviews to some of the major newspapers, radio and television stations. Everywhere she went, the African people warmly welcomed Supreme Master Ching Hai as an honored guest in their land, as she brought a message of peace and love to their people. We invite you to listen to Supreme Master Ching Hai's lecture titled Parliament of the World's Religions, delivered in December of 1999 in Cape Town, South Africa.
Why did you choose to come to the Parliament of World Religions?
Because I'm invited.
to come here. Yes. And we should, every one of us, including myself, should support any activities that unite ourselves to ourselves, yes, so we don't feel too much division and too much misunderstanding between each other. We have a chance to talk to each other. That is a good idea. So I came to support that noble idea. Yes.
Right. And can you describe for us, or just sort of tell us, so that for people that don't understand, about it, what the Kuan Yin method is, what it actually is all about.
Right. I started in Taiwan, and Kuan Yin is the Chinese term for the inner energy, the inner melody, the heavenly melody, which is mentioned in mentioned in the Bible as the Word of God. Yeah, the Word was with God and the Word was God. This is the Kuan Yin, and we reconnect ourselves with that energy, with that word, which creates all things. And therefore we will become one with God, and we will understand our purpose of being here, as well as we can visit heaven and have direct teaching from the Most High.
So is it meditation, lifestyle, what does one live it?
We have to go through remembrance again, right? Because most of us are busy. Since we came to this physical world, we're busy. So then we have to remember again. And I show people how to remember their God self, that the kingdom of God within, and that we are a part of God. I will show the people how to remember. And in order to remember that, we sit down quietly for a while and let God power take place to reconnect himself to himself within us. And during that process, we will see the light of God, or we see some heaven, the glimpse of heaven, or the glimpse of Father, or have some direct contact with him. It depends on our level of concentration. We will access to more or less contact with heaven through the light, through the sound, the vibration, the word within us. Then we will understand more about everything we want to understand. And we can see God every day in different form, through the light or the music of the spirit, through the teaching, the melodious teaching of God, or through the form of Jesus, the vision of Jesus, or the saints, or the Buddha, who will give us direct teaching. While we ascend to this state of higher consciousness, we can contact them directly, because they are in a higher consciousness now. We are in the lower consciousness in this physical body. So in order to receive this direct teaching, we have to rise ourselves higher than the body. And we have the process to do that. If we remember how, we all know that. It's just many of us forgot. And I remember it. I've been taught to remember again. So that's how I can teach people to remember. And once we remember, we can rise up to heaven anytime, at will. And then we have direct teaching from the past saints like Jesus, Buddha, Mohammed, whomever. They are all the sons of God. They are all the messengers of the Most High since times immemorial. In order to have direct teaching from them, we have to go direct to them, not with the body, because they have left. They have gone into a higher sphere. We have to go there. Okay. Just I have to come here to see you. I can't see you in America. You know, you live here, you see. So to see Jesus, we have to go where he lives. To see God, we have to go where he lives, for example. Yeah.
And who are the people that follow this teaching? How many are there? Where are they from? Are they? Are they from different religions?
There are millions of them. They're from different religions, different walks of life, different background, different professions. Yes. But when we are together, we are like one family. All trusting, loving. And we harness this collective energy to better ourselves and better the world's energy.
And how did you come across this revelation?
Oh, I have been searching all my life. And then until I went to the Himalaya and met the master who gave me this reminding. Yes, just like I would remind people after I have mastered the art of traveling to heaven.
And who's the master then that helped you remember?
He's a Kudachi, but he passed away.
What is your feeling about fundamentalism and those religious people or religious groups that oppose interfaith movement, interfaith dialogue like we have here?
Oh, they have their reason to do so. Each one has their own religion, and according to our own level of understanding about God or religion, we react differently. Everything takes time. Every change takes time for people to understand or to assimilate. So we just need patience.
And do you think that they should be moving towards that maybe?
Well, if they do not want to move, that's all right. But they should not oppose, at least. Because if anyone leave them alone to do their own things, they should leave others alone to do their own things. As long as the world parliament of religion do not do anything harmful to human beings or to any of the country or any religion, they should be supported or at least left alone. Yes. But the people who do not want to join, they should be left alone too, and that's their right. Everyone has the right to move into whichever direction they want to move, as long as that direction doesn't interfere with other people's safety and faith. Yes.
And a lot of people talk about different religions that are sort of sexist, or
right,
they don't give equality to women, for example.
Yes, right.
A lot of people, that's quite a big issue at this parliament as well, the discussion of women and religion.
Right.
What is your feeling about that?
My opinion is exactly as yours and as many and most of people in the world, is that we are all children of God. Jesus, Buddha, Mohammed has never mentioned that women are inferior or men should be superior, nothing like that. So we should keep it like that. Yes, every religion emphasizes the brotherhood of mankind. That includes women as well.
And we've heard that you go to places of suffering, places that have been hit by disasters, that kind of thing. Why
yes,
do
ma'am.
You go there?
You would go if you were me. If you have the means to help people, if God gives you more than you need, then you would go there and share the things you have with people, because that's what they are given to you for. Much is expected from whom much is given. God doesn't give it to me so that I can eat more or sleep more, but give it to me so I can share. Just like, you know, you have a big water tower in the city. It's not for the water tower to hold it there, but to share with the whole city. So I'm just one of the pipe, you know, that I will direct the water to where it's needed. And I'm alone, or even if with my whole family, we don't need all the money that I earn. God has given me a lot more than I need, or my family need even, or my disciples need. So we share it. It's a normal thing to do, no question.
So we've heard about the donations. Can you tell us about how much money you gave, who you gave it to, why, if it was spontaneous, what happened there?
Actually, it's already done, but... you see, I finished 3 minutes prayers like everyone else, and then I came down the stage. And there's a lady who came to me and said, "The children are waiting for you." They've came from somewhere very far away. They say they went on bus for 30 hours. They didn't sleep, they didn't eat anything. They come here, and then they wanted to see me. So I came down and greet them, you know, hug them. And then I asked where they came from and what brought them there, and she told me about their plight. They didn't have school, they didn't have toilet, they didn't have water. Where they live is very, very deprived of the basic need of human dignity. So I say, how can I help? She say, "Well, anything you give is fine." And I say, "How much you need now for the school and the toilet and that?" She say, $4,000. So I say, "Okay, I give you that." And she cry. I say, "But that's nothing. I give you extra so you can, in case something else." So I just gave her 10,000 for the children of that village. I forgot the name of the village. I just gave and go. I don't remember. The money will go to the children and build the school. Yeah, the principal of the school was there and the village chief was there too. So they would do that. That's it. And then I left and another group of women came. All the natives, the chocolate color people. the women who were praying, remember on the stage, they were praying for with the fire. And yeah, they just came to me and danced for me and sing for me. And then I asked them whether they have came from the 6th district where we were praying. And they say yes, but they live in another place now, and there's some of their people are in a desperate situation. Like one family, 16 people live in one small squat house and with no facility of hygiene. So I say, how much is needed for them? And she say about $22,000. So I gave her that. And I gave her $30,000 more for in case they need to repair or make more water system, which is more necessary for them.
Great.
The water pipe, water taps and all that. And I tell them if they need more, let me know later. Yes?
Can you tell us how many disciples there are? How many people have been initiated? And then also what it is you teach them, what they should do.
Right. Okay. There are too many for me to remember. But there must be at least hundreds of thousands or millions of them around the world. And sometimes they contact us, sometimes they just stay home, meditate alone. Yeah, because at the time of initiation, I tell them everything. It takes 1 or 2 hours so that they know what to do and what not to do and how to protect themselves and how to distinguish between the real vision of Jesus and the illusion one, which seek to make them astray. So there are many things I tell them in 2 hours. And then they can be their own master because they have the Supreme Master within themselves. We all have. I just tell them how to remember it. There's a way to remember. Just like if you lost your son for many years, he has a birthmark somewhere that you would recognize him again once you found him. The same thing with our Father or Mother God in heaven. There's something we could recognize. And there's a way to go back because we came from there. So there's a way to come here, so there must be a way to go back, like everything else.
And lifestyle, are there
lifestyle?
Lifestyles?
Yeah, must be morally high thinking. For example, we keep the commandments of the Bible or the 5 commandments of Buddhists, which is almost similar. Yes, like we respect all lives, and that's why we are vegetarian completely, no eggs even, yeah? And we respect people's hard-earned property, so we don't steal. We respect each other as God, so we do not cheat each other by telling lies and degrading each other. For example, we respect the loving commitment of our partner, therefore we do not commit an extramarital relationship. We do not degrade and defy love by having random sex with other people, for example, like that, apart from our partner. These things are simple, basic lifestyle that we should remember to measure our standard. If we up to it, up to the spiritual level yet, that's all. It's not really a commandment, it's a measurement to know where we are. And if we're up to it, we're okay, we can enter sainthood. Next step.
And so, does that mean marriage, or is it one's partner?
Partner is also the commitment in here. If you love that person, stay with him or her. Do not defy your love and degrade yourself by trying to just abuse sexual pleasure, which is a gift from God. Yes.
And what about war and poverty?
Mostly man-made, no? Man-made, yes. War, we don't understand each other because we don't take time. Even within religion, or within the same religion, there's war. Because most of the people who start war is not for religion's sake. It's sometimes for personal gain and power. which is not the purpose of any religion, of course. But sadly, we do have different members of society which try to walk the way they choose and not always the way God has intended. So for these people, we have to be patient, and there are many ways we can spread God's teaching and remind them. And one by one, they will come back to their sense and no more war. And poverty is because we don't share. You asked me before why I go to disaster place or why I give my things, or my members also encouraged to give direct to people. They give all the time. Some of the things, you know, we give is because it's official. But the unofficial things we give as daily basic, we give to people on the street, we stop the car at the red light, we give. We give like children of today, because there was television there, so they saw it, otherwise they didn't see it. Some official we give and some not official we give all the time. Because the question of poverty. Poverty never would happen if all the people in the world share what they have. We have enough food, we have enough, more than enough of everything in this world to feed the whole planet. Plus over. It just some keep too much. And some don't have the opportunity to get their share because of where they were born, because of their background, because of the sometimes political situation stop them. Poverty is man-made. God gives us so much, so much. Every one of us has enough, plus over. It's ourselves, we keep it from ourselves. Yes. I was born in Vietnam. I have some Chinese blood. I'm British citizen. And all my life I have been searching for the answer that we all ask, where we came from and how can we see God, which is within us. So finally, I have found the answer when I had retreat in the Himalaya. That's that. Oh, I have been in India for 2 years, also searching. But the enlightenment happened like a flash of lightning. The searching is long.
And how did you develop these teachings? From then onwards, when it happened, how did you actually develop it to make it accessible to the public, people, normal people on the ground level?
Right. Because I also have been in the ground level, so it's not difficult to communicate what I know to the people from the time I searched until the time it happened. It's very easy. That's why God has always chose a human servant to deliver his own message. It's not me who teach the people. It's not me as a human being. It is the voice of God within us, and maybe more clear within myself, since I have been searching and for and calm down to try to listen. Yes. Many of us have all this word, this voice of God within us, just we are too busy. Yes, to hear it. So since God has delivered his own message, it would be easy for the God within each of us to understand. Yes.
And just for the benefit of the viewers back home, to which schools of thought or concepts your concepts are close to? Which schools of thought are they like close or similar to?
Yes. Yes. I have studied almost all of the religious scriptures. And I found myself identical with the Muslim, with the Christian, with the Buddhist, with the Jainism, because only one God that speaks to us all the time. But we call him different name to our own liking and culture, and even language terminology. like Sanskrit, Buddha means Christ in Hebrew. Yes. So Allah is the Most High, as well as the Father of Jesus. Yes, we have only one Father. I hope everybody understand that. I'm in accord with all religions because I have found that we have only one source of it. God is the source of all religions. Yes.
Can you expand on that a bit? How it went about, how it, and describe what you actually
said. Ah, yes. Okay, sir. The searching is like everyone else. We always wonder, where is God? How I find Him? The searching is common to all of us. It's the enlightenment that is bestowed upon whoever lucky to remember it. And in order to be lucky, we must be in very, very deep prayer and sincerity. Also, it helps tremendously if we have someone who has already found the light, found God, connection with the God within. Yes, and if He shows us, it happens instantly. Every religion say we have God within, and that's the God we should find. You can call Him Allah, you can call Him Father, you can call Him God Almighty, you can call Him Vishnu, Brahma. Yes, and the moment of enlightenment, enlightenment means light, enlighten, and we are from the light. God is light, and God is love. And at the moment of enlightenment, we will see the whole universe is full of light. We will see God in the form of light, and sometimes in the form of masters, like Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Nanak, whomever has been in our planet. It would appear to us also, if we are at their level, then we can learn direct teaching from the celestial region. Because here in this physical world, even I can only teach in a physical language. But many of the secrets of the universe, we have to ascend into the higher dimension in order to acquire it. Just like we learn kindergarten in the kindergarten school, and then we learn primary school. If we want to know the knowledge of higher education, we have to go to college, you see. Advance further. And to be advanced in spiritual realm, we can't learn in this physical world. We can have a physical guide to show us the way to the spiritual dimension. Then we go there. And this physical guide have to also be able to accompany us there anytime while she or he is still in physical body. So if we encounter any problem while we are beginners, you know, like we're going back to the kingdom of God, but we take time to go there. So she or he has to also help us until we completely rely on ourselves. Yeah, it don't take long. Yes.
Various religions, they have different names for God, Allah,
yes,
Jehovah, etc. But they also have different images, like the Christianity has the Trinity of God, the Son, the Father, the Holy Spirit. And then you have the, for example, the Buddhist, the Hare Krishna view, that there's like so many different forms of God. How do you actually go about the actually uniting them into one single entity?
Yes, I can try to explain. For example, the Trinity, the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, is like this. When a master is alive, he is the Son that represents God. So he's the Son. And the Father is our God, yes, our Father. And the Holy Ghost, it is the Spirit within that Son and within us as well. While we are in this physical body, we have to know that essence of us, which is God, then which is the one that's in heaven and as well as on earth within us. So we have to recognize that one. We have to find a way to know that. And there's someone who knows it can show us quicker. Otherwise, we have to contemplate hard and find ourselves. The way is more difficult and long. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, in Buddhism, it says the three treasures, the Buddha, the Sangha, and the Dharma. The Buddha is the one we don't see, just like the God, yes? And the Sangha means the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Sangha means the congregation of the Buddha, the one who practiced his teaching,
mm-hmm.
who connected with him. And the Dharma is the teaching. But the real Dharma is the invisible teaching, the word of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
the word, the teaching from direct from God, from the head of the Buddha himself. Seesaw is similar.
Themselves, that they,
yes, sir.
They might see things differently.
Yeah. Right, as well as the different expression
mm-hmm.
of different languages. Yes, even the name for mother, each country calls different. Yes. Yes, the same thing.
Okay, and then just another question is, what's your idea of the relationship between the creator, the actual God, the human, in its physical and its spiritual form, and also the universe as a whole itself? What do you think of that?
Yes. In the beginning, go back very far from the beginning, there's only one whole, one thing, whole as God. And we are seat in it. We're one with the whole, and we still are one with the whole. Until God, or the God within us, or the God that's of all, have decided that we should be separated to be variety, to enjoy each other, to enjoy God. Suppose you are like this, you sit there. You don't know what you look like. You don't know what you are. In order to see if you're handsome, you look in the mirror. The mirror is the image of you only. It's not the real you. But nevertheless, through the mirror, you understand yourself. Similarly, we came into this non-God physical existence so that we can look back and enjoy God. But we only know that in the time of realization. Without that, we only recognize this physical body and world as real. As if we keep fixing our eyes in the mirror, we forgot that we are the one who's looking at it. Yes, similarly, the God within us is looking at the mirror right now and recognize this physical being as us. But the one who looks is the real one.
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
But the illusion is so great, the magical of the creation is so great, that it makes us forget the mirror and the image altogether and fix in that as a real. See?
Yeah.
But that's why we have to be enlightened, to break away the concept of the illusion and find the real one. If we desire so. If not, we still can wait. We have eternity to find God. Yes.
So the beginning, just
there's no big deal of finding God or not finding God. We're always there with God. Every one of us is God, and he's take his own time to find out about himself. Yes.
Just a specific question about Islam. Do you think that Islam, the message sent that was messages sent down by God through the Prophet Muhammad.
Yes.
May peace be upon him. Do you think that Islam is like that? Messages from God?
Yes, it absolutely was from God.
Yeah.
It was not Muhammad, the physical person.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Muhammad, the God.
Mm-hmm.
God within him and the God of the whole
mm-hmm.
has united and spoke through this physical frame that we call Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
He was a prophet at that time. He was the one and only at that time. But God has to send many Muhammad in different generations to remind his children again and again. Because we are not fortunate to be born at the time of the Prophet Muhammad. We're born now. So there have to be some reminder all the time. The descendant of Muhammad. The descendant of Muhammad or Christ, they're born everywhere as God's will it. To benefit his different race of children. Yes. That's the will of heaven.
You know that there are some differences in different religion. If all is by God, then is there a lot of messages from God? And all of them are okay or not?
All of them point to one thing. That is God. And all of them tell us to find God while living. The Quran says that all religion belong to God. It says so.
But it's their origins, not what we see at the moment.
Well, because, sometimes...
In another verse of the Holy Quran, it said that إِنَّ الدِّينَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, the only religion for God, it's Islam and not...
not other religion. It's fine. It's correct. Absolutely, 100%. Believe me. At that time, the Muhammad was transmit the correct teaching, the direct teaching from God. And therefore, any people at that time, when Muhammad was alive, if they believe in Muhammad and get the direct teaching from him, then Islam at that time is the only real teaching. Because the master was still alive and transmit the direct teaching, the real teaching. Every other existing religion before that, it's just theory. You see, when Christ was alive, the religion was real. Because of direct teaching, people can see the light, communicate with God. And when the master is gone, another prophet has to come, be it the last or the first, have to come and connect people with God again. And at that time, whoever at that time, that's the only real religion.
But what?
Yes, sir.
It's in real contradiction to the message of Quran.
Because you did not see God. That's why we argue about words and concepts and theory. If you just close your eyes and make you see God in instant, and then you can talk to Him and ask your Allah, what is the real thing? What is the truth? You are very, very religious and devoted. I'm very touched by your faith. But one thing missing. God. We talk about God all the time. We talk about the last prophet. We talk about the truth. But we don't see it. If only you see what I see, we don't discuss ever again. You like to see God now? Want to see the light? I can make you see. I can help you. Because it's in you. Allah is in you. Because if we don't understand this, if we don't see God, our knowledge is very limited. And the Quran is the true teaching. But people cannot understand. Because you have to be in the level of Muhammad in order to understand Muhammad's word. To rise up the same level, or at least almost the same, then otherwise there will be a lot of misunderstanding. Because we rely on our limited understanding instead of God's knowledge. We can discuss forever because I understand different, you understand different. But I love you because I have been there. I know there's a great knowledge that nobody can say he understands everything. I just understand whatever God makes me understand. And I'm so grateful for whatever he has bestowed upon me. But forever, we learn forever. Even the prophet learns forever. Because God is limitless. But we could know the whole, but we could know the point. And if we want to know the point, it takes limitless of time. I'm just so happy to know God. In our group, we have Muslim, we have Christian, we have Buddhist, we have Jains, we have Hindu, all kinds. We never fight with each other because we go inside. We know the one and only God, which make different by human discussion and describe a little slightly differently by human language and understand even more differently by different brain. You know, some people's brains are different from other brain. Some people's brain are complete, some people's brain are damaged, some people's brain are a little different. Yes, and the background of their education makes them think different, understand different. And the level of consciousness inside makes them different. But it's okay for me, no problem. I do not come to argue with people or tell people that they are wrong, I'm right. I just show the people who are ready to know the real truth behind all these religions and to have the courage to recognize it. So the only answer is to go inside and find the knowledge of the universe yourself, discover the secret, and then you answer yourself. Because nobody can even prove these things to you.
And when you go in and you come back out again, does the world change?
It changes in a way, and it doesn't change. It changes because your attitude changes. Your understanding, your reverence for all life change. Yes. And you're happier. You accept everything because you know it's all the will of God and everything is perfect. Even we didn't see so. We don't see so with the naked eyes, but everything is perfect. Every soul who came here chose his own life and own path and chose his suffering or happiness so that he go back to God in different way. Yes, whenever he's ready.
We don't. When we're deciding to embody, do we not also? We never think of having a good time. It's always, oh, I'll suffer that.
No, it's not true.
All right.
It's not true. We had good time too.
Right. Oh, I know that. But you know, if we're up there deciding what kind of a life we're going to have down here.
Yes, we decide.
We do decide.
Yes, we are God.
We choose our parents. We choose our place.
Yes, definitely. We were God. And once we choose to come here, we forget that we are God. And that's the purpose.
Right.
So that we can remember again. Remember your vacation, you go away, so that you appreciate your sweet home better.
Yes.
Even though it's a vacation, still sweet home, you're longing to come back.
What the Kuan Yin method of meditation has to offer South Africa, place troubled with crime and violence.
This is the place where it needs the most, if not like every other places. We all need God, especially in time of trouble. But because we do not know where to find Him again, so we suffer. We suffer so that we be reminded of God again. And the Kuan Yin method is just a Chinese name for contemplation on the word of God, which will be heard at the time of initiation. And with this universal language, God teach us everything that we need to know, how to manage our life, and show us heaven and His real identity, as well as our identity. Then we will know that we are one with God. And further than that, as an individualized God. And of course, once we know God, we became God again. And God cannot be ignorant. God will know what to do with His life. God will know how to elevate His own suffering. God will be God. Will be powerful again, and loving, and easy. Yes. And it doesn't matter in which circumstance, we will be forever happy because we're God. We will know what is it all about. Yes. And there will be no hatred in our heart anymore. If everyone knows God, we will be in heaven again. That's the golden age, the true golden age. Yes.
Supreme Master Ching Hai, what do you think the parliament of the world's religions will leave behind once it's over?
I guess people learn to know each other and accept each other's differences more.
Mm.
Yes. But the real knowledge of brotherhood comes actually by knowing that we are one.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we know that is through God's knowledge, through our own enlightenment, through our own oneness with God again. And we can learn to do that every day. And we can learn to have a taste of that immediately at the time of initiation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, can you tell us here in South Africa what your millennium message is for the whole of South Africa?
My message is for every millennium, know God, then everything else will be taken care of. Know God, then we will be happy. If you know God already, it's good. If you do not know God yet, search for the one who know God. Be him African, be him German, be him Indian. Search for the one who can show you the way to remind you to know God again, the light of God. The one who knows God is the one who can show you God. The ones who can enlighten you is the one who can show you the light. If anyone can show you the light, he is the one who helps you. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Supreme Master Ching Hai.
You are most welcome, and we love you.
Thank you.
Our joy to have you joining us on today's Words of Wisdom. Up next is music and poetry. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. We wish you a joyous and relaxing weekend.